I love the way you lead that song, Brother David. Appreciate that. Again, please don't stop praying at this time. We surely need God's grace to preach the gospel and to hear the gospel. To absorb it and then to then go on and use it in our lives. Certainly the gospel is for our use here. I'd like to get a verse from the second chapter of Acts. This morning, begin there. Acts chapter 2, of course, covers the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost there, where the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, fourth verse of that second chapter, began to speak with other tongues, but in this chapter, it documents some of these other tongues, some of these people that were there that did not speak their native tongue there in Jerusalem. This was in Jerusalem, of course, where they came to observe this day. One of the people that were there, in the 11th verse, it mentions the Cretes. It says the Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were able to understand God performed a miracle, one of so many here in this preaching of the gospel, and these men that did speak, and Apostle Peter. And so they were able to understand. And so what I'd like to talk about today and it's covered really on this island of Crete and the people, it concerns the people there. But reason I jumped here to begin with, and then I'll go over to the book of Titus, but one of the pastoral epistles, as it's called, Paul's writings to a pastor, preacher, but I wanted to start here to bring it to your attention that there were some people from that island present this day when the Apostle Peter preached his sermon on the day of Pentecost. So the Cretes were there. I don't know how many of them, but they were there, and so we'll remember that as we move through the thoughts that are on my mind, the subject that's on my mind this morning, and this particular verse in Titus that's brought me to these words this morning. So we'll move on. If it's brought to my mind later, may bring this up again that they were there on the day of Pentecost. But let us go over to the book of Titus. Not a very long epistle, just three chapters that Paul wrote to Titus. Titus was most likely written around 64 A.D. So this is when it was written, and so we'll lay out a little bit of a timetable here. It helps me to remember and to envision this. And of course, I can't help but think of his journeys where he went and he established churches. He and other apostles went and established churches in Asia and Europe, and in fact on the island of Crete. But to describe a little bit more these Cretans that lived there on that island. It was a pretty big island. It was actually part of the Roman Empire. in about 69 B.C., the Romans conquered Crete, the Isle of Crete, and made it into a Roman province. So long before Jesus Christ appeared here on the earth, it was a Roman province. But where it is it's in the southern Aegean Sea. It's south of Greece. If you can imagine where Greece is, and if you remember at some point where Paul and they traveled over into Europe, into Macedonia, and then so south of there, they actually crossed the Aegean Sea. But the Isle of Crete is in the southern Aegean Sea. But in this first chapter of Titus, this epistle, we're given a little bit more of a description of this people there on that island. In the 12th verse, and I pray that I can go through some of these things in an orderly way that ends up making sense. But the 12th verse of this epistle, of the first chapter of the epistle of Paul to Titus, says, "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own." So a Cretan prophet, speaker, a Greek, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." So doesn't speak too favorably of the Cretans. One of their any mentions here, one of their own prophets said this, that always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. So in the Apostle Paul's journey after he was released, he was liberated, freed from his first Roman imprisonment. So he was imprisoned there twice. He ended up being martyred there. But anyway, in Rome, he was released from his first imprisonment, and he left there in about 62 A.D. and then sailed to Crete, to that island. And so he went there. Now, Titus, and we'll see in the first chapter that he left Titus there on the island of Crete. And the reason I bring up that 12th verse is it really, and I've read the book, this short book of Titus, and of course we're taught regeneration in Titus. We're taught a lot about preachers, how they should act, what they should be as people, and the church itself, and also there's a lot in this short epistle, but it, after knowing, or, of course, in knowing who wrote it and then who he wrote it to, which was Titus, where Titus was and the people that were there, where Titus was, if you will, dispatched. He was there on that island there. But knowing that that's the type of people where Titus was, it fills in a little bit of the reasons for some of this, and I always have trouble in knowing that this is the inspired Word of God given to us by God Himself, and yet Paul wrote this, and he wrote it for a purpose, for many purposes, and yet he wrote it to Titus, and so we see what kind of people. That in Titus being on that island, who he had to deal with, and so he's writing in this epistle to Titus that of what kind of people that are there, knowing, documenting that, and we'll see in some of his counsel to Titus and really to all ministers is based on what Titus is having to go through. And so even now, though, none of these epistles of course, were written directly to us. We weren't in existence then and all. But we can see, I see in the gospel, in the Word of God, that these words are written to us. We learn from them. We can even, and it has helped me, maybe it doesn't help anyone else, but to know where Titus was, his environment, the situation, the people that surrounded him in his ministry. And then the Apostle Paul, who wrote this to him, and his care for the church, his dedication and devotion to the church and to God and Jesus Christ, and all of that paints a beautiful picture, and it helps then me in taking these words and well, how do I apply these in my life, in my ministry? This letter being to a pastor and a preacher. So this describes who the Cretans were by their own mouth, by one of their own prophets. And it was around, again, it was around 62 A.D. When the Apostle Paul came to the island of Crete. And then, again, this letter was written around 64 A.D., just to get an idea, a couple of years later after he'd landed there, and they had established churches that we'll see, that's documented as well, he and Titus had established churches, and now he's writing this letter to Titus. Now, let me jump to the third chapter of this letter. Third chapter of Titus. In the, I guess around the 12th verse, to set this scene up a little bit more, says, when, 12th verse says, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent. So when I send one of these men, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. The reason I jumped to this verse, he's going to send one of these men, one or both of these men, and when he does, he's telling Titus to be diligent to come to him, to Paul, to this city of Nicopolis. For I've determined there to winter. Now the end of that sentence there, after the colon to the end of the sentence there in that 12th verse, a complete sentence there. I have determined there to winter. I think, okay, why? I look at verses and words out of the Bible and try to question, okay, why is that in there? Why is that detail there? And this is one of those. So we don't know, never know exactly why that's there. Tells us the time of year. But now, and in this Nicopolis, this location, there was actually a city of Nicopolis that was between Jaffa and Jerusalem over in the Middle East. It's over there. But this is speaking of the Greek city of Nicopolis on the western coast of Greece. So if you picture again, and maybe I should have sent out another map or something, but you have the island of Crete down there in the southern Aegean Sea. You go directly north and a little bit west, and there is Nicopolis. That's where Paul was going to winter. Maybe the weather was nice. I haven't gone into study of the weather of this city, this location in Greece. But and as I look up, I try to also to look, just maybe for my own satisfaction, where is a letter written from? Where was Paul when he wrote this letter? We know that these are called Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Thessalonians. We have different books that are called pastoral epistles, others that are called the prison. He was in prison when he wrote them and so forth. So it gives you an idea of what Paul's situation was when he wrote some of these. Here, if you look, okay, where was this written from? You can get answers. Men have said Corinth, Ephesus, or Nicopolis. We don't really know. He may not have been there yet. I'm going to winter in Nicopolis, so be diligent to come unto me there. He's telling Titus to come to me there when I send one or both of these men. And so he could have written it from there, but that's really beside the point. But to get a picture of where all the Apostle Paul was, then he says in the 13th verse, real quickly, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, and nothing be wanting, that nothing be wanting unto them. So most probably this epistle, this letter was taken. Paul did not take this to Titus. He sent it by way of these two men, Apollos and Zenas, and by way of them to Titus. And then he's telling him, you come up to Nicopolis and meet me there. Be diligent to do that. This is again in a Greek city. So you have the picture here. We know what kind of people that the Cretans were, the Cretes, called different things. But now the verse that started me down this path was in the first chapter of Titus, the fifth verse. He tells Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete. So he left Titus in Crete. When they went there, he leaves Titus there, this other preacher. And then I come back to today, preachers that travel around and all, some will travel together. And so he traveled there with Titus, and he left him there. Never says whether or not Titus really wanted to stay in Crete. We said they're a bunch of liars, apparently. So I don't know if he wanted to stay. He stayed there, though. Paul had him stay there. Now, why did he leave him there? He tells us in this verse, I left thee in Crete that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So he left him there to finish up things that are lacking, things that Paul didn't complete. Paul obviously felt a calling to leave Crete, this island, and go somewhere else. To preach the gospel, we know how important the gospel was. The preaching of the gospel was to him. He's told us that. So that guided his life. And then yet, not only his preaching the gospel, but other ministers in preaching the gospel. He left him there. There are several cities in Crete. Several cities. I don't know if every one of them. They had set up churches in all of them. But there were several cities there that where churches were set up and I'm not going to go there, but the 27th and 28th chapter of Acts documents some of the travels to Paul's to Crete, to that island. So we see some of that in Acts 27th, 28th chapter. So he left him there. So apparently something was lacking. Set in order the things that are wanting or lacking. There's unfinished business there. Now, also, I think to this, and I don't know, it might have been because of a conversation I had with Brother Elder Chris last Sunday after church, but I thought about the ministry as a whole, and I thought back really to Paul and Barnabas and John Mark and those journeys, and how they had a falling out, and then a couple of them went to one place and Paul went to another, and Paul and Silas and so forth. And so I see the ministry all over the place, wherever it needed to be. But in this, Paul saw the importance of Titus staying there in Crete for the welfare of the church. So it was important for him to stay there. Now, he very well could have sent Titus on to where he thought the gospel needed to preach somewhere else. But Paul went. He left and went there. And so there were some things that were lacking there in those churches on Crete. And I don't know what they were. Now we'll see in a moment a couple of things, verses from Titus, from his letter to the man Titus, and we'll see, well, there, this must have been a problem there on Crete in these churches, because he's writing to him to edify him and exhort him, encourage him in his work there on that island. So he left him there, but Paul's work was finished. And in talking to Brother Chris last Sunday, we were talking about how ministers go to different churches, they serve different churches, and perform specific things in those churches, and yet when they leave, there may be something lacking or wanting there. But maybe it wasn't for that man to fulfill that need or that want in that church, that God has someone else to do that. Well, apparently Titus was the one that was left there to fulfill these needs of these churches there. Now, if Paul had not known the importance of those churches there, he wasn't just thinking about his home church back in Syria over there, up north of Jerusalem and over there, but he was thinking of those churches and their needs, and so he knew the importance, but also that God, certainly in guiding these ministers, these apostles, then would have, it was within his sovereign will and providence that Titus stay there to do that. And so it should have told those churches that if in fact they were aware of this setup here, and that Paul left Titus there in Crete, to set in that he should set in order the things that are lacking, that they should think, okay, well then God is still with us here. There's a need. There's something lacking here. And then my next thought would be, well, okay, what's lacking? What do we need to do here? Well, he left Titus there to do that. Certainly within God's gracious, merciful, capable hands. There, and so he left him there, I didn't finish that verse there. He says that thou shouldest set in. He left him there in Crete that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee, which is ordained. As he's ordained, you ordain other ones. Paul didn't tell. Doesn't say which one. He didn't list out a bunch of names. Which ones to ordain? Now, there was no difference here. It wasn't that Titus was then to go around and pick out the men I'm going to get him, him, and him, and him in these cities and ordain them as ministers. Now, he did that, but yet he had to judge. The churches had to judge who was called to preach already. The ordination does not grant the gift to preach to a man. Amen. He's already preaching. He's already preaching, and then the church recognizes the gift. So there were gifts there. Again, I don't know how many cities. There were multiple, many cities on that island. I read the as far as islands on earth, on the earth, as far as the size, Crete is a pretty large island. I don't know, in comparison to all the island that comes to my mind is Galveston Island here in the south of Texas, you know, and how big that is or how big it's not. But Crete was large. It had a lot of cities and people. They were Greek. And so the problems that Titus had to deal with, the opportunities that he was given there on that island of Crete. One of them was that the lowercase g God, Zeus, happened to be born on Crete. Yeah, if he were actually a thing. But anyway, again, it was Greek mythology and so forth. And then even a couple of others, I can't remember, goddesses, I think, were born there. I'm thinking, okay, that's... Anyway, so Zeus was born. So he's got an uphill battle. These are the people that live there. And again, liars, why he would have called out just lying, that they were liars and all. But these are the people there that would join the church. Now, lying is just like any other sin, that if you commit a sin, you need to pray for forgiveness. Jesus Christ died for all of our sins, even that lying. Them joining one of these multiple churches on Crete did not relieve them of that sinfulness. They joined that because they were led to the kingdom of God set up here by Jesus Christ, and because they were already children of God, made that way vitally described in the third chapter, and I think around the fifth verse of this very letter, Titus. This is where Titus was left there to do these things. Now, certainly not going to go through every chapter and verse in this letter of the Apostle Paul to his fellow servant Titus. Knowing all of that, knowing what kind of people are there, and the problems that Titus may run up against in ministering and shepherding these churches, and then finding other ministers. Immediately after that verse there, the Apostle Paul says in the sixth verse, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. And so he goes on. I'm not going to read all of this. This sounds much like what's read in an ordination service when a minister or a deacon is ordained within the church. And that's exactly what it is. We go to Timothy, a lot of the same things. In those pastoral epistles, Paul's letters to serving pastors and sons in the ministry here. I've read this, and I never really got down in here and studied where was it even that Titus was on this island, what type of people were there, and so forth. Where was he serving as pastor and our bishop, if you will, there on that island and so forth? But knowing, and then what kind of people are there? I always use the day of Pentecost, that sermon where I began with the Apostle Peter, in looking at the type of people in the congregation under the sound of a preacher's voice trying to preach. And filled with the Holy Ghost, there those people were there at that time on that day of Pentecost. And I think I use that example a lot. Of some of those there were the ones who had literally called out with their lips, "Crucify him, crucify him," and they were there listening to the Apostle Peter. And then I contrast that with as far as I know, every person I've ever preached to that I believe are children of God. That have been led to the church, to the church kingdom, and that of the knowledge that they have, and not complete knowledge. We grow in knowledge. We grow in grace and peace through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and of God and all. But I think of that now. Think of Titus, and when he was preaching from Sunday to Sunday or whatever day of the week he might have spoken publicly, and to the ones that he was preaching to from that 12th verse of the first chapter of how the Cretans were described. And all that's who he was preaching to. Again, I'm thankful for who all I've preached to. I could probably check off at least some minimal things that especially if I'm preaching to those that have joined by baptism, the Primitive Baptist Church, that they believe in that publicly. They've said at least and shown they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They believe in that. So I can check that off. Now, maybe someone comes in that's never set foot in a church before, and their knowledge is much less. Maybe they've heard of Jesus. They don't know what he did. Maybe they think baptism saved us eternally from our sins, which is not correct. And all. So you have to kind of start veering off from what people know when you're preaching. Typically, in a Primitive Baptist church, you're not going to have people coming just for the entertainment value. And they shouldn't. We shouldn't. I enjoy it and all. But they've come led by God. Either they're wanting more knowledge, or they have a purpose in glorifying God in Jesus Christ in coming here. As we pulled up and saw the Klein's truck out there, and I told Kathy, if they're able, they are going to be here at church, and they come. They're so faithful, and so many are. We come for many different reasons. So these are the kind of people that I preach to. The ones that wanted to be there in the first place. They wanted to learn something, maybe. They wanted to glorify God. That should certainly be at the top of the list. But Titus, he had to preach to a different kind of people here. And I don't know how large the churches were. I think about things like this in studying church history and all the number of people in churches and churches coming and going and all. But so I don't know what size they were here, who made them up. We know some of that in some of the churches where Paul went and constituted. Some of the names of their church members and their dedication and so forth, what they did. So he begins here in talking about, well, Titus, here's the type of man that you need to go find to ordain, to lay hands on as an elder, minister in the church. Titus most likely already knew that. Some of the others might have. What cities in Crete, which cities were the people from who were there under the sound of the Apostle Peter's preaching? I don't know, but some of the people here had already heard the gospel preached. You think you add all this stuff in here, but yet the majority of them had not. So when the Apostle Paul preached there, when Titus did, then when the other elders preached there, that may have been the only gospel they heard there when they were there. But here is written what type of a man is to be ordained as an elder in every city, as Titus had been ordained as well. So he goes through here, and most of this book, then there's the reason. He's writing this to Titus. There's a reason for this. And yet we derive from this when we want to go and see, well, this particular man, he speaks well. He's knowledgeable. I tell you what, when I'm listening to someone who we think might have a calling to preach the gospel, I look for I tell you what, there's a difference from just speaking to being blessed by the Holy Ghost, being a called minister. And we don't take that lightly, don't jump into anything, but we look for that, and so certainly you do, but you look for a certain type of man. In reading this list here and going to 1 and 2 Timothy, I think, but I'm not within that list of criteria. I fail at those things. But it certainly gives me much to work on in my life. Not having to work to save myself eternally. This is what we're to do with all diligence. It amazes me the number of times that the Apostle Paul told Titus, diligently come to me in Nicopolis. Be diligent in that. But anyway, he goes on and puts forth a lot of this exhortation and this counsel to Titus on what to look for. And he says in the second chapter, the beginning of that chapter, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and discreet, chaste, and goes on, keeper of a good home. Again, I've read this before, but knowing he's telling this preacher, here, do this. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, I think Titus would have done this, but he's encouraging him, exhorting him to do this. because of the people that are there on that island. What's there? Maybe he read the other epistles on what he would, when he wrote to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians and so forth, what he needed. Thessalonians, they had a problem that they were having a hard time grabbing hold of the truth in the resurrection, that their loved ones would die and that's it and all. And so he wrote accordingly for that. And yet we're taught of the resurrection there in a moment, in twinkling of an eye. We're given knowledge in that as well. But there was a specific purpose, just as there was to Titus from Paul here. And in the importance of those churches there. I don't know if there's still a true church that's in existence on the island of Crete. I don't know what type of people there. I did actually study some currently today. You know, in wishing that I could travel through like the Holy Land and the Middle East and so forth, and some of these places that we learn about here, then in Crete, would I ever want to go to Crete? Apparently, there's a little bit of a crime problem there. Well, where is there not? Maybe I'd be fine going there. I'd be ready. Being raised in Houston certainly helped me out in that respect and being aware of things. But I don't know what the people are like now, if there are churches there and so forth. But here there was, and he told him that he should set things in order. And then he begins to tell him, this is the order that you set them in, and this is how you do it there. Third chapter, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So that makes perfect sense now, knowing the kind of people that their own prophet described in the 12th verse of the first chapter. Liars, evil beasts. These are the people there. And so he's telling Titus, here, do this. Put them in mind of this. If I was Titus, I don't know what he did with this manuscript and all, but I would have held it close to me. Let me go back. Sunday's coming up, and what am I to preach on? And let me look. What did my elder minister, my father in the ministry, tell me that I should preach on? What should I cover for these specific people? Was Titus preaching in every city there? He was to go find elders in every city and lay hands on them, ordain them there. But the most important thing, that he should have set in order the things that are wanting, that are lacking there. And so God had to, Paul didn't tell him every single thing that was lacking. Maybe Paul probably wasn't aware of everything that was wanting there in those churches. God guided Titus in that. I believe, although it's not every single thing is not documented. I'd love if there were more and more writings covering another, like an Acts, instead of just the book of Acts of the Apostles, Acts 2, that had all this stuff in there. Let's hear some of the other stuff that went on. I would love that. But apparently we don't need that. Titus had everything he needed to pastor those churches, whatever churches he pastored. And they call him now the bishop of Crete of all those churches. We don't really look at it the same way. But ministers were ordained there, Titus already was. And so he tells him here how he's to set in order and what he's to say here. And then I love that in this third chapter, he goes on. And what does he end up covering? Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, regeneration, being born again. So he covers that. Tell him about that, Titus. Tell him about that. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, chapter 3. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, my mind jumps back to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and those Cretes that were there. Had they been there? Were they there at the time during that mock trial of Jesus? Did they witness that? Did they know who Jesus was literally, physically there? I don't know. We don't know. But they heard the Apostle Peter preach the gospel, and hear Titus preach to them as well. But so he's telling them, preach to them this, that he shed this on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this is how you set these churches in order that are lacking. Maybe they were lacking the doctrine of regeneration. And so this is what you set them in order with here. Then he says, and let me begin to wrap this up in the eighth verse. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So then Titus should get to that point in this letter to him from Paul, this epistle, and he should say, these things that I will that thou affirm constantly. It's like, oh my goodness, Paul's fixing to tell my father in the ministry, he's about to tell me what I am to affirm constantly. So I would continue reading. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. There's a period right there. So they that which have believed in God, oh, apparently good works does not lead to belief in God. Those that have believed in God, if you believed in God, be careful to maintain good works. Knowing now the type of people he's dealing with on that island of Crete, then that's very pertinent. It's expedient that Titus preach that. You which have believed in God, be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving. So he's constantly telling Titus, this is what you hear here. Set it in order in this manner, in this way. Set those churches in those many cities in order there. Now, and so it's all about there on that island. It's about us now. This, we do the same, follow the same things. Now in, let me go to 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. Get one more thought here and then I'll go one more place and close. In this 20th chapter of 2 Kings, some of my favorite stomping grounds as far as the Old Testament, but speaking of King Hezekiah. And in fact, the 20th chapter begins that he was sick unto death. So Hezekiah is sick and he's about to die. I'll read this first verse. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, so Isaiah says to King Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So that's a pretty straightforward statement that Isaiah is telling Hezekiah, you're going to die. And so before you do, you need to set your house in order. So that obviously comes in the first chapter of Titus, verse 5. About setting in order those things that are lacking or wanting in those churches. So he's telling him, you need to set your house, thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. He even backs it up, two ways of saying it. You're going to die and you're not going to live there. And but he says, tell him, set his house in order. And so we know how the rest of that goes. I'd love to go on into that again. And I think I have preached on that here last couple of years, but in that he is spared 14 years, I believe it, 15 years, his life, and he lives on, and he's given a sign even. God's merciful and gives him a sign that in fact he's going to have that time added to his life, and another king is born. Anyway, but he tells him to set his house in order, and I think about that in that we should be thankful the churches. The people that make up the churches at Crete on Crete should have been thankful to know, to realize that part of the things that are lacking or wanting that we must set in order does not include anything eternal. Romans 8, 28 through 30, those things listed there. You talk about things that are set in order. That God did that and all of that. And you can go out from those verses on what's set in order eternally. And all. And so he's not telling King Hezekiah, you need to straighten yourself out in the last remaining days or hours that you have left. Get it together. Fly right. Do good and so forth so that you'll get into heaven or something. No, none of that is involved. Set your house in order. There's things that we do that I'm trying to do now in setting my house in order. And because we don't know our schedules of all, how long we'll be here and all, we need to set things in order. I happen to handle a lot of stuff, finances and so forth, in our household and all. And so I need to set that stuff in order and have it plain and simple. And I always kind of jokingly say, well, I'm going to be the first one to go. I've chosen that. You know, like I can decide that or something. I don't want to go through any undue sadness in my life. And I want to go first. I'm ready to go anytime, actually, just if truth be known. But I'm setting things in order, that in case that happens and all. Hezekiah is to set his house in order. We don't have to set in order anything eternal. I don't have to all of a sudden, hey, well, I better straighten up my life and live right and do good as Paul counseled Titus to counsel these churches on Crete, in order that I might, be in heaven. I already know I'm going to be there. I have the solid hope, expectation that I'll be there. And so I need to, that eighth verse of the third chapter of Titus is to do good works and all here because I already believe to do those things. He's telling Hezekiah, set your house in order, but we never read anywhere to set your salvation in order. That's not one of the things. Paul didn't write that to Titus because it's not there. It's not one of those things. And so I just wanted to bring that out. Now I'm going to close with, I believe it's Psalm, and I believe I was here recently in this Psalm 63. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of there and close. Thinking of, again, of Titus, this man. He was a man just like a human being, a man just like us. A preacher needed everything just like we need. Now, a different situation. I just described to you for a good 40 minutes or so of what his physical needs were. And in his preaching the gospel and so forth, who he preached to. And all left there on that island by his father in the ministry. Paul took off, left him there. And then he wanted to see him in Nicopolis then during the winter of that particular year. But so Titus, I think of this man, this preacher. And then I also forget, I think, well, right now, Titus, Paul, Barnabas, Silas, all of them, their soul and spirit is in heaven right now with all the soul spirits of those that we know. I think the one sister, Oli, that we mentioned this morning, that passed away, and all the soul and spirits are there, and all. And so will I have a chance to ask any of them a question? Will I care? I don't know. Probably not. I'm going to be focused on Jesus Christ, my Redeemer, I think. So let me read in Psalm 63, fourth verse. Thus will I bless thee while I live, he says to God. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. This is while he's here, David, while he's here. He's going to do these things. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now, I think so many times preachers will mention that the Bible that the apostles had, the Word of God that they had, this was it. You know, we have Psalms, we have these other books, Kings, Chronicles, and so forth that they had. And I think how much did Titus need those words of King David, the psalmist there, in that on where he was to place his hope, his courage, to know where he got his help from was God Almighty. And so I believe that was written to Titus, just as it's written to us. It's where we derive our help. That's who holds us up in whatever circumstances I will be placed in my ministry, in trying not to be discouraged or discouraged within myself, in my failings, in whatever it may be, in the surroundings and so forth, and what's going on. In the same thing in that Psalm 63 is where I need to read that. And as Titus did on that island of Crete, as he was there responsible for all those churches and all those cities, and then trying to figure out what is it they're lacking? What is it? And yet his father in the ministry wrote him a letter to tell them, here, this is what you do. This is where, these are the places that they are in which they are lacking. And so we're to keep those in our minds and as we go through our lives, the things that are listed there, and certainly as ministers, those qualifications, those don't go away. They should remain. And that's both in the office of deacon and minister, bishop, if you will. But yet in all of that, our hope and our strength comes from the same one, and that is God Almighty. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.